There is a growing awareness and activism among various religions about the need to save our common planet. In this speech by Professor Sarah McFarlane Taylor, we hear about the work of Catholic environmentalist nuns. The title is Missionaries to the Planet, Green Sisters, Catholic Environmentalism, and the Renewal of Religious Life. The speech was recorded in Toronto, Canada, by J.P. Warren on May 22, 2008. Sarah is an associate professor of religions at Northwestern University, Evanston, Chicago, and the author of Green Sisters, A Spirit and the author of Green Sisters, A Spiritual Ecology, Harvard University Press, which explores the work of the hundreds of Catholic sisters who have made caring for the earth their primary ministry. Professor Taylor was introduced by Professor Stephen Sharper, Center for Environment and the Center for the Study of Religion, University of Toronto.
Well, welcome to you all, and it's great to have you all here. My name is Stephen Sharper with the Center for Environment and the Center for the Study of Religion at U of T, and we're very happy to co-sponsor this lecture today. And some of our other co-sponsors are here. Professor Dennis Patrick O'Hara from the Elliot Allen Institute for Theology and Ecology is here, and they kindly are co-sponsoring this event with the Center for Environment and the Center for the Study of Religion. And also, we have a newly minted PhD, Andre Montanay, who did his PhD in religion ecology and just defended this morning. And so, so it's a great day for us at the center. And it's also a great day because Sarah kindly agreed to speak a little bit about her work on Green Sisters. And I just wanted to hold up the book Green Sisters, A Spiritual Ecology, which is Sarah's work. She'll talk about the research that went into this, but just from a personal standpoint, I just say it's a wonderful book, both in terms of ethnography and in terms of the richness of what is being done among women religious around the earth, which she has spent almost a decade, right?
More, if not more,
finding out about and living with. And so it's a great pleasure to welcome Sarah here. Sarah is an associate professor of religion at Northwestern University in Evanston and brings a wealth of teaching in religious studies and background in religious studies to this particular topic. So it's a great pleasure to welcome here, her here to the U of T campus. Welcome, Sarah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. And I want to also thank all the co-sponsors and Stephen for inviting me up here and for arranging the gorgeous weather. I thank whoever arranged the gorgeous weather. It's supposed to be 40 degrees and rainy, and here it could not be a more stellar day. So I'm thrilled to be here and to be in such a gorgeous place. Today I'm going to focus primarily on the research from my book, Green Sisters, A Spiritual Ecology, in which I delve into a growing movement of environmentally activist Roman Catholic vowed women religious, referred to as sisters if they are in apostolic or open communities, and nuns if they are in monastic communities. Just who are Green Sisters? Green Sisters, as I define this term in the book, are those who largely identify themselves as responding to a spiritual calling to, quote, minister and to heal the earth. And that phrase that I use is from the main network of Green Sisters, Sisters of Earth. So a spiritual calling to minister to and to heal the earth in the face of grave environmental problems. These are women who also fundamentally identify a false dichotomy between environmental concerns and social and economic justice, publicly recognizing that it is the world's poorest of the poor who suffer disproportionately from things like air pollution, dirty water, exposure to dangerous toxins and chemicals, crop failure, and subsequent famine, flooding, and drought, intensified by global climate change. The Green Sisters movement is the antithesis of what has often been cast as a kind of heroic and male-dominated elitist tree-hugging environmental movement. These are women who, in many cases, have spent decades working with the poor and destitute, who have now come to see that hunger and economic justice are inextricably tied to environmental degradation. In response, I think I'm going to get a little bit of water here. Excuse me, and pardon my plastic bottle from coming in the airport. In response, Catholic religious sisters are building new earth ministries and are re-inhabiting their traditional community lands in greener, that is, more ecologically conscious ways, and I'll talk a bit about that. These sisters have begun sod busting, neatly manicured lawns surrounding their mother houses to create community-supported organic gardens, where they engage in what they term sacred agriculture. They are building alternative housing structures using renewable materials. This includes things like straw bale, rammed earth, cobbing methods of construction instead of using forest products. They are building composting toilets, heating their buildings with solar panels, cooking with solar ovens, and opting for new hybrid vehicles when replacing older cars. They are putting their community lands, in some cases, into land trusts and creating wildlife sanctuaries on their properties. They are disrupting shareholder meetings of corporate polluters, contesting the construction of garbage incinerators and cell towers, combating suburban sprawl. They are developing green liturgies that honor the whole life community, and they are adopting environmentally sustainable lifestyles, both as daily spiritual practice and as a model to others. In 1993, Sister Mary Southard, who's a sister of St. Joseph of LaGrange, Illinois, and a handful of women religious concerned about ecological devastation of the planet, founded a loose decentralized network, the network I referred to at the beginning, called Sisters of Earth. There is no headquarters of Sisters of Earth, no president, no central leader. Using an image drawn from philosophers Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari, at one conference, Sisters of Earth invoked the metaphor of rhizomes to describe the decentralized and non-hierarchical quality of their grassroots work on behalf of the Earth. Their biannual Sisters of Earth conferences serve, in particular, as gathering sites for sisters involved in many aspects of Earth activism, and their next conference will be in Los Gatos, California, this July. Some of this Earth activism includes organic farming, land trusts, anti-toxics work, eco-justice, farmland renewal, food safety, heritage, seed conservation, earth literacy education, eco-spirituality, and so forth. And actually, in the book, on my chapter on seed saving, I feature, as one of the main components of that chapter, the Sisters of Providence of St. Vincent de Paul in Kingston, Ontario, and their work with heritage seed saving at their mother house.
And Sarah, speaking of your book, it just arrived for sale, so it is available after the presentation.
It's for
a flat rate of $29 GST.
I had no idea it was even coming. During more than a decade of researching Green Sisters and composing a contemporary history of this movement, I've seen a radically different picture of contemporary women religious from those portrayed in other contemporary studies. For instance, Lucy Kalin's book, For the Love of God, for example, opens with a scene of an aging mother house of feeble nuns, many of who are confined to the infirmary or who suffer from Alzheimer's disease. Kalin depicts a real and depressing scene of atrophy and decay in women's communities, where sisters dial up mass on antiquated closed-circuit TVs because they are too frail to leave their rooms. And not that sisters' communities aren't aging and have aged, but I was privy in this research to a very different window into the lives of sisters and women's Roman Catholic women's religious communities. In contrast, I've been privy to a world of athletic, Levi-clad, suntanned nuns out digging vegetable beds, pruning fruit trees, building eco-villages, launching clean water campaigns, and celebrating planetary seasons and cycles. These are not the nuns of the doom and gloom reports about dying religious communities and the death of vowed religious life. Undeniably, many communities of Catholic sisters have been devastated by a lack of new vocations in recent decades. But in the process of finding new ways to re-inhabit their community lands, Green Sisters are also creating more sustainable ways to re-inhabit the spiritual landscapes of Catholic tradition and vowed religious life. And I want to stop here for a moment to talk about the fact that when I started this research back in 1994, I could identify within the U.S. about half a dozen of these major earth ministries run by Catholic sisters. Once I began writing the book in the year 2000, I could identify about a dozen or so of these major active earth ministries in the U.S. And when I finally finished the manuscript in 2006, I was able to include over 50 of these earth ministries across the U.S. and Canada. Some of the Canadian sisters that I include in the book, I mentioned the Sisters of Providence of St. Vincent de Paul, who are largely the subject of Chapter 7 of the book. I also feature Advocates for the Earth, a ministry of the Sisters of St. Martha of Prince Edward Island in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and also the Glen Airlie Center for Earth and Spirit, which is a joint ministry of the Sisters of St. Anne and the Sisters of Charity of Halifax. It's located in Sook, BC. And I also feature a number of Canadian sisters who have come down to the U.S. and are working in earth ministries in the U.S. and then have returned to Canada. One of these sisters is Maureen Wild, has returned to Canada to act as a consultant to communities in Canada in terms of greening women's communities up here, starting earth literacy centers up here. So there's much more work to be done on Sisters Earth Ministries, both in the U.S., but especially in Canada. And I just want to take a moment to honor the work Stephen Sharper has already done on this topic of Green Sisters in Canada and some very early work that he did on that. Heather Eaton has also done some work on Green Sisters in Canada, as well as Christina Vavin, who's also done work on Green Sisters. So more work on Green Sisters in Canada. You know, there's much more to be done. This past fall, when I attended a formal dedication of the Green Mountain Monastery in Vermont, which is a new religious formation, it is the first Catholic religious community that explicitly has its word of life directed to earth healing. When I went to visit in October for the actual dedication of the monastery, I had at least 10 sisters come up to me and say, "You missed me in your appendix of 50 earth ministries, you know, because we have one or we're just starting one." And so I came home with these sort of pockets full of business cards of more sisters who have done this. So this this is a really dynamic movement that continues to grow. For centuries, women religious have periodically created movements to reinvent and reinvigorate religious life. The culture of Green Sisters is arguably one of those movements. Dominican sister Mary Ellen Lesajewski, also the ecology program coordinator for Catholic Healthcare West, observes, quote, "Earth ministry has changed the way I think, the way I love, the way I live. I've been blessed with a lot of energy, but this has tapped a reservoir of energy that baffles me. This call beckons me to grow, search, forgive, let go, accept, appreciate, question assumptions I grew up with regarding my place in the world and my connection to all creation. I have experienced a profound calling that I dare not ignore and for which I am grateful," unquote. Leszczyszczyński's level of energy, like that of sisters across the spectrum of this movement, is palpable and bespeaks a strong sense of spiritual renewal and reinvigorated mission, what I refer to in the book as a green blade rising amidst what some authors have characterized as the post-Vatican II rubble of Catholic religious life. Carol Rossi, a Dominican sister and co-founder of Crystal Spring Earth Literacy Center, which is in Massachusetts, echoes the energizing effect this movement has had on her community and on the lives of women religious she knows involved in the movement. She says, quote, "I think it's amazing the way this consciousness has bubbled across women's religious congregations. I mean, I think this is at a time when it seems most of us would sort of be pulling in, you know, pulling the shades down and closing the back door and saying, well, it's over. But these are people who are moving ahead and willing to say, this is something important. This is what we've given our lives to." I think that's pretty intriguing. And I quote Carol Rossi, but when I went to visit the Sister Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in Monroe, Michigan, who have the largest eco-renovation project in North America and the largest geothermal field in North America that they've created on their property, they've said the same thing. They've said, yes, you know, the median age of our organization is however high. This is an aging population of our organization, but we need to move ahead with this. And same thing with the Dominican Sisters of Sinsinawa in Wisconsin. They've said, yes, we need to move ahead with this. And lo and behold, I teach a course on ecofeminism and the sacred, and one of my students took one of the articles on the Green Sisters home to her mother, and she emailed me a couple of months ago to say, my mother's now a novice at Dominican Sisters of Sinsinawa, and similarly with the the Green Mountain Monastery. There's obviously nothing wrong with an aging population of novices, but they're attracting women in their late 20s and 30s, women who are mature. They're not the 18-year-olds, I said 8-year-olds, but really children that entered religious life at one point in the history of religious communities. But this sort of moving ahead with this mission of earth healing, it is about a kind of reinvention that generates interest in younger generations. So this image of not pulling down the shades and closing the door, but opening to sort of a future possibility is echoed throughout the movement. Not only is it intriguing, ultimately, how sisters re-inhabit both their communal lands and the spiritual landscape of religious life, but it provides powerful insight into religion and culture as themselves organic and dynamic processes at work on the North American religious landscape. Historically, when orphanages were needed in North America, religious sisters' communities built orphanages. When hospitals were needed, sisters built hospitals and staffed them. When schools were needed, sisters built schools and taught in them. When peace and social justice concerns intensified, especially in the context of the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement, the violence in Central and South America, and the widening economic disparities between wealthier countries and the world's poor, sisters formed ministries to respond, including commissions on peace and justice that took sisters' lobbying efforts to Congress and to the United Nations. And one of the founders of NETWRC, which is chief lobbying organization, Catholic lobbying organization in Washington. I've spoken to one of the co-founders, Carol Costin, who some of you may know, who is now involved in an earth ministry in Texas on the border called Santuario Sister Farm. And she has very much brought the issues that that went into forming an organization like NETWRC and has brought this to her environmental ministry and this overall vision for environmental ministries. Now, in today's times, sisters are hearing and answering a call from the earth, and it is to these needs that they are directing their efforts. founding numerous ecological learning centers, community-supported farms, and other earth ministry on their lands has been one such response. And in the book, I also talk about urban ministries as well in terms of sacred agriculture in urban settings. Data from personal interviews, more than a decade of field research, 65 electronic interviews of religious sisters, and more than 100 overall interview contexts, all of these indicate that although Dominicans, Franciscans, Sisters of St. Joseph, Sisters of Loreto represent the highest percentage of involvement in earth ministries, Sisters of Notre Dame, Sisters of Charity, Sisters of the Humility of Mary, Medical Mission Sisters, and so forth and so on, a wide variety of others were also involved, are also involved in ecological centers, community gardens, and earth ministries. So this is across different communities. At various locations, such as Genesis Farm in New Jersey, Earthlinks in Colorado, Earth Heart in California, and I mentioned a couple of earth ministries in Canada that are also intercommunity. Founders and staff are largely intercongregational or intercommunity, combining participation and sometimes support from multiple Catholic women's religious communities. Although the bulk of the ministries that I looked at were located in either the Midwest or the East Coast of the U.S., every region of the U.S. is represented in terms of where these ministries are located on the landscape, and various regions of Canada as well. This section of my presentation is dubbed "It Isn't Easy Being Green." For a growing number of religious sisters, adopting more ecologically sustainable practices and life ways, so this includes things like eating organically and seasonally, eating from within the bioregion, using renewable energy technologies, building and inhabiting alternative eco-design structures such as straw bale houses, living lightly on the earth, consuming few resources, being environmentally active in terms of direct action as well as indirect action and lobbying, has come to constitute a new kind of spiritual discipline and daily mindful practice. Green sisters are also ascribing new meanings to their vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience through the practice of a non-materialistic lifestyle that uses few of the earth's resources, remains chaste from consumerist desires, and observes a non-procreative lifestyle, one that helps to mitigate human population stress on ecosystems. And several sisters talked to me about how sisters really give a gift to the earth by not adding to population stresses. Sisters of the Earth, a Sisters of Earth organizer and Josephate sister, Toni Nash, has spoken extensively to religious communities about the broader context for the vows within the larger earth story and its implications for their renewed understanding. Dominican sister Miriam McGillis's audio program, Revisioning the Vowed Life, also offers creative ways to understand the vows in more ecologically meaningful contexts. And this tape has become a staple within the movement. It's widely circulated. For more than a decade, Maureen Wild, who is a Sister of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul of Halifax, has been putting greener perspectives on religious life into practice at the grassroots level, and she is a former director of Genesis Farm in Blairstown, New Jersey. In her profession of vows in 1990, she spoke the following, quote, "I profess a life commitment to poverty by striving to become more and more creatively simple in my living, learning to live appropriately within the limitations of the earth life process. I profess a life commitment to chastity, acknowledging the sacredness of my own relational sexual being and desiring to relate to all life as sacred. I profess a life commitment to obedience by listening to the needs of life within and around me and responding with my gifts." Wild, a native of Canada and a former director of Genesis Farm, now works with a number of earth ministries in British Columbia and beyond. In the selection I just read, she conserves the traditional form of profession of vows, but re-inhabits that form in ways that extend her commitment to the whole earth community. As she directs her vows to the, quote, living mystery, loving mystery of life, whose presence pervades the natural world in the grandeur of the universe and the splendid modes of Earth's expression, Wild finds new and sustainable ways to live within the vows. You can also see that the vows very much also communicate a strong sacramental theology. Ecologically sustainable living, from diet to dress to modes of shelter and even cleaning products and composting toilets, has also become part of a new and greener context for vowed religious life. Sister of Loretto, Elaine Prevelet, makes the case that for sisters, quote, practical disciplines such as recycling, being sparing in our use of water or paper or electricity, being attentive to choices we make in our buildings and our purchases, how things are packaged, whether or not they are environmentally friendly, eating low on the food chain, these need to be recognized as spiritual practices, unquote. Indeed, 95% of electronically interviewed sisters for this study identified such things as conserving water, paper, and electricity with spiritual practice. Sisters who did not explicitly identify them as such instead spoke of them as practices in daily mindfulness. Sister Gail Warcello, the co-founder and prioress of the Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery in Vermont, was one of these sisters. And indeed, I observed some of these mindful practices when I visited the Green Mountain Monastery, and one of these practices was mindful driving. And that is whenever we would get in the car to drive someplace, which in rural Vermont you need to do for basic things, we would pile into the car, and the sisters had Velcroed to their dashboard a meditation chime. And Sister Gail would ring the meditation chime, and everybody in the car would fall silent. And then they would all meditate. We all meditate together on the fossil fuel that would be consumed by driving, the impact on God's creation, on the life community of burning that fossil fuel, and then praying that no harm comes to any creature in the course of driving and no harm would come to them. But they would do this every time they drove. So if you can imagine, every time you got in your car to run to the supermarket or, you know, pick up your dry cleaning or whatever, you took 60 seconds to meditate on your consumption of the Earth's resources. And this is adopted as a daily discipline.
That gives me an idea. I'm wondering if we could turn the lights off and then just raise the blinds a little bit, if that would provide enough light.
Sure. 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. 60-second interval.
Will, we try to get that light? Because I see the sun is trying to clear out the cheap out, so I think the natural sunlight in here. Thank you very much.
So, I've witnessed and participated in a number of these mindful disciplines or these daily mindful practices. One of the things I talk about in the chapter on sacred agriculture is the mindful labora that goes into working with what many of the sisters who practice sacred agriculture consider to be the working with the Holy of Holies, which is the life force. And that this act of going into their organic gardens, community-supported gardens, many of which provide food to feeding centers, the Dominican Sisters of Akron, Ohio, their Crown Point Earth Literacy Center, which is also a community-supported garden. They have their garden feeds families in the Bath, Ohio area, but then a certain section of the community supported garden goes to their feeding center in Akron, Ohio. So they're also producing not just food for their feeding center, but organically grown you know, very high quality food, the kind of food that would be served in gourmet restaurants. And the sisters really believe this is, you know, this kind of nutrient-rich, high-quality produced food that, you know, poor people, starving people, are families are entitled to this kind of food as well, and that that their commitment to providing, you know, poor families in Akron with this food is part of their mission there. These spiritual disciplines, these mindful ecological disciplines, this is also very connected. I just spoke about the Green Mountain Monastery, connected to not just their word of life, but their articulation of their overall mission. And I just wanted to read a quote from Gail Worcello talking about the monastery, the Green Mountain Monastery, and the sisters' vision for this monastery. I'm going to come over here, by the way. She says, "In these early beginnings, we imagine ourselves as missionaries to the bioregion and its life systems of water, air, and soil, which must remain healthy if we are to survive. We imagine our monastery as a place of sanctuary for seeds, the new refugees of our time, who need to be safeguarded from the fate of genetic manipulation. We imagine activating deep inner capacities still latent in our contemplative depths. We cherish the ability to open ourselves to a comprehensive compassion that is concerned for species thousands of years into the future in order to feel their vulnerability based on our actions of the now." And this very much ties into the sisters to the culture of life and promoting a culture of life. I also wanted to read a quick excerpt from the preamble to the rules and constitutions of the Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery. It reads, "In this particular historical period, we come into existence at a time when the total range of life systems of the planet are endangered. The geological, biological, and chemical balance of Earth, so necessary for life and the very basis of our continuity as a species, is undergoing irreversible damage and disruption. This loss is bringing with it a corresponding diminishment of soul. In destroying the Earth, the matrix of mystery and the locus of encountering God, we are bringing harm both to our outer world and our inner spirit. This devastation is being brought about by an industrial mindset that sees the Earth as devoid of spiritual meaning or divine presence. In response to the magnitude of the crisis, we acknowledge the need for reorientation of Christian thought and action from a primary preoccupation with humans to a primary concern for the total Earth community. In considering the enormity of what is happening and the consequences for every living being on the planet, we are convinced, in light of the gospel, that this assault on the natural world is sinful and contrary to the teachings of our faith. It is within this urgency that we are founding Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery." And this, of course, was written before there was the Vatican acknowledgement of environmental degradation and sin. In addition to her role of co-founding Sisters of Earth, Josephite sister Mary Souther has also founded Spirit Earth, an eco-spiritual center in the Hudson River Valley of New York, and has also helped to found another center, Allium, which is an eco-spirituality center based in her congregation in LaGrange, Illinois. Souther identifies daily activities like starting a car, turning on the faucet, or turning on or off the lights, or even such daily practices such as yoga and body awareness as both spiritual practices and bells of mindfulness that she says help her to remind her of the reality beneath the surface. Such practices, adds Souther, quote, can call us to remember the presence of the holy in whom we live and move and have our being, unquote. The food ways of Green Sisters who adopt organic vegetarian diets or who commit to eating low on the food chain also reflect a kind of re-inhabiting or reinventing of pre-Vatican Council II restrictions on Friday meat consumption, and in some ways, even the convent culture of fasting and abstinence. But whereas the monastic tradition of meager meals and abstinence from meat fostered, as Patricia Curran writes, quote, detachment from things of this world, unquote, Green Sisters' food ways reflect a conscious, sacred engagement with the natural world. Instead of being associated with penance or mortification of the flesh, vegetarian diets are connected both to ethical choice and mindful practice, inspired by a desire to live lightly upon creation. 64% of the 65 sisters with whom I conducted electronic interviews responded that they are mostly, almost always, or always vegetarian. 81% responded that they eat organic food mostly or all of the time. And many of the sisters responded, grew that food themselves since organic food, although the prices have come down, at least in the U.S., often they grew this food so that they could, partake of it. Sisters that I interviewed also spoke of communion with the earth through the act of eating, and how the act of eating transmits into the body the intent with which the food has been grown and the spirit with which the land has been attended. So, for instance, food produced in accordance with a kind of mindful cultivation that respects the earth becomes in turn part of a miraculous transformation of the earth's fruits into spiritual deed and prayer, giving a new and greener spin to the meanings of communion, transubstantiation, and Eucharist. Dominican sister and founder of Genesis Farm, Mary McGillis, speaks of, quote-unquote, food as sacrament, of each meal as entering into communion with the whole of life community. Contaminating and poisoning creation with toxic chemicals, creating frankenfoods through biotech creation or genetic manipulation, are frequently characterized by sisters in terms of desecration. Quote, I hope that all food might be presented to us without being genetically or chemically damaged, says Sister Marilyn Rudy of Earth Heart in California. She goes on to say, quote, food is holy. Let us eat as a spiritual experience, unquote. Through organic farming, land restoration projects, and mindful food ways, Green Sisters seek to heal what Passionist priest and self-described geologian Thomas Berry has identified as a profound earth autism that in modernity has separated humans from the primary source of revelation, not the Bible, but the earth. Similarly, of all the Green Sisters I interviewed, all of them had in some way re-inhabited the traditional habit or religious garment, making a commitment either to use exchange or buy used or recycled clothes, or when affordable, to consciously support sustainable agriculture by wearing organically produced fair trade clothing. Having mostly set aside traditional garments in the 1960s and 70s to adopt the dress of the day, Green Sisters' clothing choices constitute yet another area of daily earth mindfulness. Sisters have also begun to cultivate a series of green habits, such as mixing their own non-toxic cleaning supplies and conserving energy by minimizing use of television sets and other electronic devices from their lives. In a number of earth ministries, sisters have succeeded in their commitments to construct on their lands straw bale hermitages that avoid forest-based products for construction and can be heated and powered by solar means. In giving a tour of one of these structures at Genesis Farm, they're now two, but this is the Straw Bale Hermitage, Sister Miriam McGillis said, quote, we need to look to the earth to see how it shelters and provides in order to see how humans should shelter and provide. The earth's ways are our models. This kind of eco-design housing is yet another way to re-inhabit both the physical landscape and the landscape of religious life. The Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery in Vermont, who I spoke before, they've just retrofitted their monastery building, their new monastery building, to include 16 rooftop solar panels, which serve all their electricity needs. At the completion of this project, Prioress Gail Borcello exclaimed, quote, "Our monastery has become a mini generator," unquote. And so it has. The community has become a generator not simply of electrical energy, but of prophetic ideas and energy for exploring new and old paths of religious life. In environmental terms, the monastery's achievement of self-generated energy is referred to as going off the grid. And some of you may know this expression, going off the grid. In Benedictine terms, the sisters' commitment to using self-generating renewable resources fulfills St. Benedict's insistence on community self-sufficiency. What's more, the monastery's organic garden currently provides much of the community's produce. A greenhouse construction project, now complete, will enable the growth of winter and early spring crops, thus making the community even more self-sufficient. And the Monroe IHM sisters that I spoke of before, who have this eco-renovation project, they too have a community-supported garden and are raising much of their own food in that garden. And it's interesting, when I talked to some of the sisters, they said, you know, we used to do this up until the 1970s. We got almost all of our food from our own land, and then we sold off the fields to different farmers, or we stopped producing our own food. So we're getting back to the wisdom that we once had and then grew away from. And a number of communities have told me this. Like their counterparts in apostolic communities, the Green Mountain nuns put into practice a number of green habits or eco-disciplines. They consume few resources, wear simple organic denim dresses. That's their official community garb, and they do have matching community garb that you'll see in the book. They observe traditional monastic prayer times of dawn and dusk and engage in contemplative labor such as gardening, cooking, bead making, and religious icon painting. Reinventing and renewing the Catholic monastic tradition in the context of what they identify as a new evolutionary cosmological consciousness, the Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery, like Apostolic Green Sisters, seek to re-inhabit the traditional vows and live them in more ecologically conscious ways. The sisters, and I'm talking about the Green Mountain Monastery sisters, cultivate a community that is ideally a seamless garment of ora et labora, words or prayer and work, while at the same time challenging the very dualisms that oppose monastic retreat with worldly engagement. And in this case, Sister Gail Borcello talks about an engaged, paradoxically, an engaged monasticism. Green Sisters create a third way between retreat and worldly engagement, or the Green Sisters of the Green Mountain Monastery do, pioneering, as it were, a path of engaged green monasticism. Their fusion of contemplative and activist inclinations, Western monasticism and contemporary cosmological physics, Catholicism and environmentalism, affords yet further demonstrations of Green Sisters' skillful bridging of conventional, liberal, and conservative designations as they bring old and new perspectives together on religious life. A decade ago, and some of you may know the sociologist of religion, Mary Johnson, a decade ago she wrote, quote, "I predict that the 21st century will be marked by a Catholic reclamation of spiritualities, prayer forms, traditions, practices, and artifacts from previous centuries, which will be woven into existing institutions and which will become foundational for new institutions. The old symbols will be imbued with new meanings in response to the fundamental need to find paths to contemplation in new contexts," unquote. Green Mountain Sisters provide a model example of religious women who seem bound and determined to prove Johnson's prediction correct. Of course, it isn't easy being green. Indeed, in many ways, re-inhabiting the vowed life in green terms generates just the kind of, quote, "costly religious investment," unquote, that sociologists of religion, Roger Finke and Rodney Stark, Lawrence Yannacconi also speaks about this. But Finke and Stark, in their market-based model, they link this costly religious investment to statistics of higher levels of religious commitment and satisfaction. In the daily rigors of ecologically sustainable living, there is a way in which the Green Sisters movement ironically taps into the renewal of interest in traditional forms of religious life and worship that have fueled neoconservative movements, such as those featured in the work of Mary Jo Weaver and R. Scott Appleby. Statistically, we know that conservative women's congregations are currently attracting the most vocations. Author and religious sister Mary Jo Leddy responds to this trend in reweaving religious life, questioning, quote, pluralism without a purpose, unquote, and lobbying for not throwing the baby out with the bathwater when affecting reform in religious life. She makes the case for, quote, loosening the bonds of liberalism, unquote, over religious life, arguing that having all members of the community comfortable with the tenets of religious life is not the same as having them challenged. Leddy finds something distinctively satisfying about the difficulty of sacrificing individual commitments in the service of common commitments. Interestingly, by observing a challenging daily ecological practice in purposeful service to the whole Earth community, Green Sisters creatively reclaim some of the traditional elements that have made conservative or more orthodox religious communities, I'm using those in quotes, so attractive in recent years. Yet they do so in non-traditional ways. Even so, words like strictness or costliness that Finke and Stark and Yannacconi use are somewhat misleading in this context when used to describe sisters' ecologically mindful living, because these terms are usually associated with ascetic withdrawal from the world, a denial or a rejection of its pleasures, whereas such things as growing or purchasing organic vegetarian food or organically grown clothing may be more costly to obtain and maintain, and whereas substituting biking and walking for car trips may entail more challenge and inconvenience, conserving water, paper, electricity, and so forth, the organic food may also be tastier, the clothing more comfortable, and the walks meditative and therefore more deeply enjoyable. Living simply, conserving electricity and natural resources, cleaning with home-mixed non-toxic products, eschewing microwaves in favor of slow-cooked meals, may be more challenging, especially in the midst of a fast-paced consumer-driven culture. But it also may be more luxurious and a sensuous pace of life that makes challenge very satisfying for reasons that have very little to do with self-denial. In fact, creating the vows and the practices of everyday life cultivates challenge and strictness, but it also fuses discipline with pleasure, with the pleasure of enjoying the earth's fruits at a more human pace. And I'll brings me to my conclusion here. Implanting earth ministries across the North American landscape and growing a new way of life in their own spiritual backyards, Green Sisters are contributing something unique to the work of putting theory into practice. They may draw from the work of Thomas Aquinas or Thomas Berry, Pierre Desjardins or Vandana Shiva, but in their practice, they show themselves to be anything but passive receivers of either tradition or prescription. At times, sisters prune, as it were, overarching theories or theologies of certain elements that are not deemed useful or life-giving on a practical level. At other times, they generate new combinations of elements that help up-in-the-air theory to take root and thrive on the ground. In essence, Green Sisters Earth Ministries are test plots that give concepts and perspectives from eco-spiritual philosophy a terrestrial incarnation. To use anthropologist Michael Taussig's term, sisters tangibilize their combined inheritance from Catholic religious life, North American intellectual thought, contemporary spirituality, and environmentalism. On an experiential level, they find out what works and what does not, and then proceed to make necessary readjustments. In their earth literacy centers, community-supported gardens, and ecologically sustainable lifeways, we see Green Sisters literally putting the authority of experience into practice, into action. Taking a closer look at sisters' approaches to liturgy and the dailiness of vowed religious life, to cultural tradition and religious heritage, and to the cultivation of both land and community, suggests the creative development of what I've termed a kind of eco-spiritual mimetics that is characteristic of green spirituality in the North American context. That is to say, there are identifiable dynamic correspondences between spiritual and biophysical landscapes in sisters' lives. And sisters harmonize interior and exterior landscapes to reflect one another. Mimesis simply refers to the phenomenon by which cultural forms, such as art and literature, mimic life. There's a similar mimetic quality to the evolving culture of Green Sisters, in which the spirituality and life ways of an ecologically minded sisters embody the Earth's own patterns of diversity, pluriculture, planting, conservation, renewal, and growth. Sisters' green ideals and values reflect their spiritual ideals and religio-cultural values, which in turn are reflected in their ecologically sustainable practices made manifest on the physical landscapes of their communities. Valuing and cultivating biodiversity on their lands, for instance, has become integral to the spiritual to a spiritual life that also honors diverse elements of earth wisdom from a variety of religious traditions. The bioregional ideal of re-inhabitation, in which one commits to stay in place, stabilitas, and search for new and more sustainable ways to live in that place, is also reflected in Green Sisters' community commitment to stay with Roman Catholicism, but to find new ways to live with it and within the landscape of its traditions. Similarly, as Green Sisters model sustainability by incorporating more eco-friendly practices into daily life, they also strive to create a more ideally sustainable or renewable religious life in both its external and internal dimensions. The Roman Catholic Church has a long history of being energized by those who challenge and extend its boundaries. Even if temporarily vilified, grassroots movements such as the one that has been launched by the Green Sisters, and I'm not saying this movement has been vilified, but should it be, grassroots movements such as the one launched by Green Sisters are often later embraced and touted as examples of the Church's vitality and relevance. Cultural theorist Susan Mizrucci writes, quote, "Religions are by definition polytheetic as opposed to monotheetic. They are amoebas, not clams, which is to say that their survival depends on their capacity for transformation and incorporation, to borrow, influence, and to be influenced, to maintain coherence in the face of diversity and crisis." As Green Sisters explore ways to maintain coherence in the face of increased cultural diversity and ecological crisis, the historical movement they have created merits our keen attention. In their harmonizing of institutional and personal authority, in their transformation and conservation of religious symbols and practice, in their re-inhabitation of tradition and everyday life, and in their mystical embrace of cosmic unity and green spirituality, these North American Catholic sisters and their calling to heal, restore, and renew the earth offers unique texture and depth for understanding the intersections of women, religion, ecology, and culture. Thank you very much.
You have just heard Sarah McFarland Taylor speaking on Missionaries to the Planet, Green Sisters, Catholic Environmentalism, and the Renewal of Religious Life. The speech was recorded in Toronto, Canada, by J.P. Warren on May 22, 2008.